Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, third hour, Tiki and Tierney before we launch you and also us into the weekend here. We're inside of our Quicken Loan Mortgage by the Rocket Lawrence. Coming down 3, 2, and 1. All right. Why don't you read it, Tig? You're eating something. What do you got there, buddy?
We are coming to you live, as always, from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way, providing seamless mortgage experience.
Look at this guy. Well done. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. I got a little giddy because tomorrow's a big day for this guy. Tomorrow I'm taking my son. First game, I'll be working. I'll be obviously doing the broadcast for St. John's Providence at the Garden.
Oh, I thought you meant the T-ball.
Well, that too. Oh. That's T-ball registration in the morning, gotcha. Which is huge.
I was getting ready to say, wait, they register and then play a game immediately?
No, it's just paperwork. I didn't
realize that you were talking about actually going to the St. John's game.
Yeah,
That's his first one.
He went to a Marist game. He went to a Marist and went to my school.
Went to Marist, yeah.
Basketball, which is like, with all due respect, kind of going to a high school game. I mean, although we're coming around a little bit here, but
Did he just get a new coach?
We've got the guy.
Yeah,
Coach Dunn. Shout out to Coach Dunn and the Red Fox. I text him all the time. Every time we win or lose, I text him brick by brick. You know, layer by layer. He's great. He's going to get us to where we want to get. But it's been slim pickings for a decade. So, but he hasn't. And he went to the Garden on. What was it? Season started right around November 10, November 11, right around late October. St. John's had a practice at the Garden. Remember I took him? And it wasn't open to the public, but I had a chance to obviously, take him there. And he met Coach Mullen, met Shamari Pons, whatever. But tomorrow, he's going to the game, and his mommy's going with him. And he's going to be right behind the radio booth, which nice. I can't wait for, because I might, I'm going to put during halftime, I'll bring him in. He can sit on daddy's lap while I'm doing the halftime report with my guy Minko. And I was thinking, what I want to see our staff, all right? I think I know your answer, but I'll get to you last. I'll give you time to contemplate this. D-Cell, your first big venue event, what was it? Where was it? Who took you?
Does it have to be sports related?
I mean, what are you going to drag us into the concert genre? Where are you taking us? Are you going to take us to Broadway?
Sports show. Met game with my father, Shea Stadium.
Okay. Roughly, how old were you? Not so much the year, but how old was young D-Cell?
I was a little bit older than Colton.
So you're about 6?
Yeah, I'd say about 6.
Okay. It's funny because I was right around 6 or so. My first game was at Yankee Stadium. My dad took myself and my sister against the Texas Rangers. So you went to see the Mets at Shea. Samter worked at Yankee Stadium. We know that story. But what was the first game, first professional venue you went to?
No clue.
You don't remember?
I mean, I'm assuming maybe a Yankee game, but I have no idea.
Really?
Nah. No clue.
All right, we don't waste time on him. Yeah. Tiki, what about you?
So, who the hell remembers that stuff? I was probably 4 or 5.
D-Cell did. Yeah. I do. I'm sure he will as well.
So I guess I'm a normal human, I guess.
Okay, or just not a big sports fan. Go ahead, Deke.
Southwest Virginia, the Braves were close to us, but that was a long way.
You never made it to...
We didn't go to Redskins.
Fulton County Stadium now. Wow, there's so many stadiums.
A lot of college games, because Virginia Tech was, 45 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember those venue
when you were a kid.
Yeah, you're right. Lane Stadium.
I mean, 60,000 people. Did you guys tailgate when you went?
No. I mean, we were young.
I didn't know if you went. Your mom took you.
Yeah, mom took me because my dad was out of the picture early.
Gotcha. That's right.
But she knew a lot of the coaches and things like that. So the first professional venue that I went to was a Redskins game. But I told you.
Yeah,
My aunt got us tickets.
Yeah.
So it was me and Rondé. Yeah. They only had 2 tickets because she was doing contracting work for somebody, and they gave her tickets. She's like, "You guys want to go? We were like 14 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a Cleveland Browns game.
Oh.
It's set. It was good seats, too.
This was at the old stadium.
The old RFK. RFK.
Okay.
And
the Nationals played.
We were like by
before
ourselves.
They built their new park.
So it was like us, like it's 15-year-olds. Like,
how'd you get there? I know you didn't take Uber.
She dropped us off.
She just dumped you off at the stadium?
She dropped us off.
The good old days. You could do that.
No cell phone. We have cell
phones. That's what I'm saying.
It's not like, hey, call me when the game's over.
Wow.
It's just like, meet me here.
Yeah, that's
you know, when the game is over.
Yeah.
And it was actually really
cool. Did you have money in your pocket to get a concession?
Yeah, we had like, I don't know, she gave us like $40 or something.
Did you get a program? What'd you get? Do you remember? Did you get a program or something?
You forget.
Like, no, and you guys, you probably invested it and tripled it.
No, we were so shy back then.
Yeah.
I think we went to our seats and sat there and maybe on the way there got like a soda or something and didn't move.
And you pocketed the money.
Just kept the money.
That's awesome.
Maybe we got a program because they walked down.
Programs, it's programs.
We didn't walk up into the concourse and be like, ooh, let's explore. We were just like, let's sit where we're supposed to sit.
God forbid Tiki and Ron, they break a rule. But, you know, the funny thing is like, when you go to a baseball game, there is a lot of wandering around and walking around. You go to a football game, you sit in your seat, and you go.
Yeah,
you watch the game. You don't really walk around unless you have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Or halftime or whatever.
Sure.
Halftime, you might go get something to eat. But you sit and watch football if you're there. At least then you did. Now it's gotten a little bit different.
I can't wait to see his eyes tomorrow. Because we watched the game the other night when they won at Marquette. They beat number 10 Marquette. And I showed you the pictures. He stayed up until about 5 minutes to go in the game. So he stayed up way past his bedtime. He was up. It was like 9:40. He was still hanging in there like a champ. So, you know, he knows Shamari. He recognizes Coach Mullen. Johnny's, you know, he's looking forward to it. He knows what's going on.
It's funny because I remember when I took my oldest, AJ, to his first game. It was a hockey game because our friend, the Pex, had seats. Or he did financial advisory work for hockey players, and he knew, you know, the guys for the for the Rangers.
Uh-huh.
And so I took AJ to a game, and he was...
How old's AJ at this point?
He was probably four. Maybe five.
Colton, same age.
He was obsessed.
Of course.
Right? He's asking me questions that I don't know the answers to. Dad, why did they stop play?
Don't know.
I have no idea. But he the whole rest of the day was just asking me questions. You know, why did the goalie do this?
I don't know.
You know, why is he doing this?
I don't know. Look it up.
Right? Why did they jump off the ice?
I'm not sure.
I understand that. They changed the lines.
Yeah,
right?
Change your lines.
But
did you honestly know that back then?
I probably did. Maybe not. But it was great. He loved it.
He absolutely loved it. Ron is in Long Island. Ron is on Tiki and Tierney CBS Sports Radio. Ronnie.
Yeah.
What up, Ron?
Hey, man, I got a question to ask you.
What's up?
On Durant, man, his people go to my church.
Okay.
And bad news, BT, he has no clue about going to New York.
Mm-hmm. No offense, but Ron from Long Island's not going to either make my opinion or like dissuade me or further cement the fact that I think that he's coming to the Garden.
Do they say he's not coming to New York, Ron?
Basically, they don't think they have a winning ball club right now.
Well, they don't. That's why we need Kevin.
So we need KD and Kyrie. And then with some of the young bucks, it might be all right.
Hey, I want to ask you a question. I know you're from Virginia.
Yep. Grew up a big Redskins fan.
Yeah, my brother went to military school in Virginia. I don't know if you know it. St. Emma Military Academy, Powhatan, Virginia.
No, I don't know that one. There's a couple of Fork Unions down there.
Where did Eddie George go?
Eddie went to Fork
Union. That's right.
I don't know that one. But there's a bunch of them there now.
My brother was a defensive lineman. He went to a Catholic Jesuit school, William Penn, Oskaloosa, Iowa. His defensive lineman, I can't think of the guy's name, but he played for the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right. Cool.
Nice. All right.
You know,
well, listen, Ron, do me a favor, Ron. Next time you're in church with Durant's people, as you're putting money in the in the offertory, giving money to people who need it and less fortunate, just whisper in, tell him BT says make it happen. Make sure that if Kevin's having a leaning the other way, make sure that they change that tone. I don't like what I'm hearing. All right, Ron?
All right, man. You guys have a good day.
Thanks, buddy. You do the same thing. I'm still mystified. I don't understand how somebody who is in sports radio, like Samter, who produced in Arizona for a pretty good sports station, mm-hmm. who's been part of this network since day one, produced for Gottlieb, produces us for 5 years, does stuff for Westwood One, Super Bowls, Final Fours, Big Dance before that. Not only does he not remember, but doesn't he seem like he cares? how is that possible?
I want to ask your dad tonight.
That's disgraceful.
Yeah, you can ask him. I mean, I'm assuming it's probably a Yankee game because they worked there. My brother worked there, but
I'm going to meet. I've never met your dad, right? Have I met your dad?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think I've met your dad. So I'll meet your dad tonight. I'll ask him. See, I'm just coming to Kinky Boots.
Oh, is he coming?
Yes.
He's coming with the girl and the mom and dad?
And the mom and dad.
The whole crew.
And the mom and stepdad, right? Wow, this is like
Ooh.
Special.
Ooh.
Yeah, they've hung out and done stuff before. But
I
yeah.
know, but you're coming to see me. They're all coming to meet me.
Yeah, yeah.
Special.
Yeah,
let's not make it too much about you.
I'm being LeBron.
No,
LeBron,
it's all right? about Tiki.
I'm being LeBron right now. They're coming to meet me.
Where are they sitting? Now, we had to pay for these. You got to pay for these, don't you, Santa?
Of course you have to pay for
no.
them.
Yeah, you do. How weak is that? I'm sitting here for weeks. I'm telling my wife.
You have to pay for yours?
Oh, yeah. Jen, you know, Tiki's going to leave us the front row seats. I asked him off the air the other day. I'm like, Tiki, when are you going to what? March what? Because we have a couple of things
March
that we
3rd.
Have to work. I'm just saying when I asked you. March what? I knew it was March.
Yeah.
I didn't know when I asked you. And you said March 3rd. I said, okay, we have this. I said, all right, so can you leave us tickets? He's like, no, you got to buy them. Buy them. I mean, I thought it was a layup that they'd be waiting for me at
Will
Call.
Well, Tiki, thank you. I mean, Tiki hooked us up.
Yeah, I know. Sure he did. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he hooked you
up. Just like my wife.
Because he feels sorry for you because you don't remember your first sports
game.
Yeah,
because
you can probably
pay for all of it. I'm a poor little
poor. Yeah. Yeah. Your mom has saved more money with coupons than some families make generationally.
Listen, at the end of the day, those coupons don't help me buy tickets to games and to concerts and to shows.
That would be interesting. How much money your mom has saved over the course of her life?
I'm going to say hundreds of thousands.
And
at
coupons.
Least.
I'm going to say hundreds of thousands.
Sam's mom, for those who don't know, is the coupon queen. Like, literally.
Yeah, we haven't really probed into this in a while.
Started in 1978. So over the course of 40-some-odd years, yeah, it's got to be
It's got to be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That's amazing. We haven't talked about this in a while. That is... I almost forgot how amazing that is. And the patience that requires, like, I'm just not, I can't, I have no time for that. I just want to get the hell in, get out, take my card. You know, not that I'm looking to flush money down the chute, but, I mean, whatever. 70 cents my way, 70 cents your way, I got to go. It doesn't really matter. Fred is in Utah. Good buddy, Fred. What's happening, Fred? Tiki and Tierney, how you doing, buddy?
Fellas, what's up? Thank you for taking my call.
Freddie.
Appreciate you, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Happy New Year. I haven't talked to you for a minute.
I know, man. Happy New Year to you, too.
Happy
I mean,
New
it's February year. Now, so we Come really on. Can't say that, but it's all good.
Well, it's my first time talking to you.
I hear you.
Hey, my, I got a question for you, too, for you, too, BT. But first, my first game was Shea Stadium. We went to Shea Stadium. It cost us $1.50 to get in.
Okay.
My buddy Ricky Hammond took me to my first game. I was probably like 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
My mom let me go for the first time. We took the, I think it was number 7. We got over there to Shea Stadium. It was pretty cool.
I
had a junior high school coach named Chet Thomas. And he was kind of a mentor to me and was trying to help me. He grew up with Lenny Wilkins and Connie Hawkins and those guys.
He did? Good basketball player.
The Supersonics used to come to the Garden. He used to take me to the game. And back then, you could go into the locker room. Downtown Freddie Brown and Jack Sickman, those guys just hanging out. With
Seattle, yeah. Yeah. Let me, Fred, when you went to the Mets game, what year are you talking here? I'm not exactly sure how old you are. You don't have to tell us how old you are. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get a sense of that Mets team that you went to watch. What year did you go to Shea for the first time?
I just turned 54. So it was like Dave Kingman and I believe Tom Seaver and guys like that.
Okay, so you're talking late 60s ish, right before they won the World Series in 69. Nolan Ryan may have been on that team.
I said 54. I'm 54 years old. So
he's
like,
10 years. He's 10 years older.
Late 70s, early 80s. Late 70s, I believe.
Late 70s. Tom Seaver was gone. He got traded to the Reds. Anyway, we're starting to go down rabbit hole. It's all good. I got you.
But I want to ask you, being connected with St. John's like you are, does Walter Berry, is he around at all with the program?
You know, Walter's gone to, I'll tell you, Walter Berry is a name. He won the Wooden Award. Walter Berry was unstoppable.
Yeah.
You know, Walter just didn't have a jump shot. Walter was in the NBA. Walter was a first-round pick by the Spurs. Walter actually made a lot of money in Europe, to answer your question directly here, Fred. He was over in Europe for a long time. I remember he came to the Carrier Dome years ago. And I think Norm may have been the coach still. This is probably in about 2006, 2006. He came to a game. I think he had just finished his European career. Like, Walter made a lot of money and played for a long time in Europe, but kind of washed out a bit with the NBA. Just didn't have the jump shot. But if you saw him play in college, Walter Berry is one of the best college players of all time. He was that good.
Yeah.
So is he around the St. John's program at all?
Goes to a few games. He goes to a few games. Yeah, he goes to a few games. Not too often. He goes to a couple games, though. Yeah. Yeah.
Appreciate you, Fred.
Thank you, Fred.
Freddie was born in 64, 65.
I don't know. Is that what he said?
Seaver was born, left in 77. He could have seen him. He said he was 11 or 12 years old.
Traded to the Reds, the Midnight Massacre in 1977.
Yeah.
So he was born in 64, he said?
64 or 65, something
like
that.
Oh, yeah, definitely could have seen. Yeah, sure.
He was 11 or 12.
Yeah, no question. Okay. All right. Nah, Santa.
I'm going to ask your pops tonight.
I don't think that there's...
I want to report back on Monday.
Another producer... in all of sports that would not know the answer to that question.
I would put my entire life savings on that.
Well, thank God.
I was like 4 years
much.
Old. What the hell do I remember from 4 years old? I don't care.
Yeah, but you
don't, I don't,
like
I don't remember the game, no, so why does it matter what thing, game it was?
Of course you don't remember the mechanics of the game, but like, isn't it something that you reference as a family? I don't know. I guess I evidently not. Like, generally...
I mean, I've been to probably... 500 baseball games, 600 baseball games?
That's not the question.
I'm not remembering the first one when I was four.
Okay.
What sparked your interest in sports?
The same thing as anything. Playing catch with my dad. And...
get the answer from his pops tonight, will you? Find out how he doesn't remember his first game.
I'll find out.
And report to us on Monday about this. I got to get the answer. What do we got coming up here, Teague? What do we got? Where's the rundown? Oh, that's right. I think we have to get back to the Lakers. Last night was a shifting night for the Lakers. Temporary? Or does this change the entire rest of their season? What a game in Boston. Wow. We'll get to that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. We'll finish on LeBron and the Lake Show coming up right here next. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save a little money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com and a 15-minute save 15%. Or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. All right, so let's get back to Lakers here, Teak. Last night, and you had your sports minute, and I had mine. Yeah. I think they're both very different, but I think they're equally
same
potent.
Same topic.
Same game, different same topic, a little bit of a different interpretation. I said this to start the show. You'll do this in the NFL because there's only 16 games. Mm-hmm. You'll never do this in baseball because you just don't measure baseball games this way. But rarely will we ever characterize an NBA game as a stunner. That's really how I opened the show a couple of hours back. Last night, when you include everything, encompassing everything, the rumors, LeBron, the 42-point beatdown, the chance at the free throw line with Ingram, the way they won last night. Stunner.
Yeah. Because
stunner.
Look, we don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the season, but should the Lakers go on a run, win 10 in a row, move into the sixth seed of the Western Conference, do well in the first round of the postseason, they can probably look at this game and say, this was our catalyst, right? This was the game that showed us who we actually are. And
Or it was an asterisk.
Yeah.
That eventually means nothing.
Yeah. It's, I'm just saying, but if they, make a run.
Yeah.
Because so much of this first half of the season, BT, remember all the minutes that LeBron was playing? This is before he got hurt. All the minutes that he was playing.
Yep.
And he had to score 40 in a lot of these games in order for them to be competitive. And nobody was contributing other than him. Rondo was constantly banged up. Lonzo got hurt. Maybe Kyle Kuzma was coming into his own.
But Ingram was hurt. Ingram
was
banged a little bit of time.
Up. It's like, dude, what are we watching?
Yeah.
This is like LeBron doing it all himself. And then the drama of the trade deadline, the Anthony Davis pursuit, and created this very odd locker room environment. Luke Walton's being...
poisonous, seemingly.
Oh, very
toxic,
poisonous.
Untenable.
Luke Walton was almost fired last week.
Yeah.
At least that's our speculation. But, like, all these things just started to happen. And when you get these pressure moments, right, you can feel it. Like, it's about to bust. And a couple of things can happen. Either it just blows up or... somehow you get it all under control and start moving things back towards normal and playing good basketball.
Stabilize it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
And to your observation, which I didn't think of, which is right, it was the young kids, man. Kyle Kuzma shot 62% from three-point range. He's a 30% three-point shooter. He's just knocking them down, right? LeBron shot 50%. That's LeBron being LeBron. He had a triple-double in a big game against Boston on the road. You would expect him to do that.
But isolated all, TNT.
Exactly. But all the other guys, they were doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. And when it came down to it, they weren't dependent on LeBron James, which is a shift from how they were winning earlier in the season.
Yeah.
So it could be the moment where we say, this is when this Lakers team figured it out. They got tested. They got pushed. They got, you know, put to the task. Coach is going to get fired. Guys are going to get shipped out. And this is how they responded. They're going to build off of this. Or, like you said, it could be an asterisk.
And that's where I'm leaning, by the way. Only because too many things that happened last night represent too rare of an occurrence for their team.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously they set a team record for threes made in the game. They hit 22. Mm-hmm. That hasn't happened ever.
Out of 41, ever. By the way. 53% they made.
Yeah. And they've had some, you know, I mean, Derek Fisher could stroke it. They've had some shooters. Obviously, Kobe, if he gets hot from downtown, he's not afraid to throw him up back in the day. You would have thought that some Laker team would have stumbled upon 22 or 23 threes, but they never have. So I think that's in. So, yeah, credit to them. They certainly rose to the occasion, and they temporarily put whatever has infiltrated their individual minds in terms of negative energy. They were pros last night, even though they were down by 18, which is the other part of the equation. The Celtics actually forgot how to win, and the Celtics have different problems. I've done this maybe in the playoffs here. Never, and I don't think I'll ever do this again unless it's something completely bizarre. Never have I actually written down notes like, and I mean, I'm a big note person, but actually written down the final sequences of the game to illuminate, to prove a point for a regular season game. And I did this because I think it's important, because Kuzma had the floater with 2:44 to go. Ingram got fouled. He hit one out of two from the free throw line. With a 122, Caldwell Pope hit the three. They're down three at that point. LeBron sticks to three with 50 seconds to go. That tied it up at 124 apiece. But then Kuzma, the long three with 19. Kyrie Irving, the beautiful drive on the right side. That put the Celtics up by one with 11.5 to go. Who took the final shot? Yeah, I know it was Rondo, but it was Ingram who turned the corner and said, to hell with this, I'm going for the rim.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure. And he got blocked by Horford. Horford, who moved his feet like a young man and played textbook defense until he couldn't corral the shot that he swatted away. And it went, and, you know, serendipitously in the hands of Rondo, who didn't even touch the iron, didn't even graze the iron on that 15-footer swish. Game over. They started celebrating like they won a championship, and good for them. But the point is that everybody, almost except the one basket that he made, but LeBron, had their fingerprints at the end of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't save their season, and it could, it although I still don't think they're doing anything. But
why is that? Because they're just not good enough?
I don't think they're good enough.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, though, what this might really do, if I'm Magic, if I'm Pelinka, I'm sitting there saying, you know what, thank God. If we can finish up these final 25 games and these guys could do a semblance of what they did last night, maybe the Pelicans will want to make the trade.
Yeah.
They'll view these players as more enticing.
Yeah. And that's
more assertive, more developed, more further along.
It could be the positives that comes from this.
That they needed to help consummate this. Now the Celtics will jump into the conversation. Knicks might try to get Anthony Davis. They'll have more people at the table, but at least now they have maybe more of a chance.
Agreed. The expectation for this game was a follow of what happened a few nights before when they got destroyed by the Pacers. Where they just laid down.
Mm-hmm.
And if we would have seen that again.
Oh, boy.
I mean,
oh.
Luke Walton's really on the hot seat. Maybe fired.
Yeah.
Right? LeBron James is even more detached than he has been. And these young guys are thinking about what's next. Instead, they're playing, you know, music in the locker room. And Lonzo's going, even though he didn't play last night. You know,
tweeting
about,
out lyrics,
right?
We ain't
going anywhere type of things. You know, like, sometimes you need. Look, athletes are emotional. Like, especially basketball players.
Especially the modern athlete.
Exactly, and especially the modern basketball player.
Who's
making a lot of money and is very sensitive to a lot of different things.
And been coddled since he was 9.
Exactly, and for about 2 weeks there, they felt like they were not wanted. And that's hard to deal with.
I'm sure. Right? They're people. They are people.
You hear it. You can't ignore it. Mm-hmm. LeBron James gave them the advice, stay off of social media, which is impossible.
Thanks, Dad.
It's impossible. Please. Okay, you stay off of social media, LeBron.
Right? You know what I'd love to see? I would love. Yeah, no. I would. And by the way, when you go on Instagram, make sure you have your story straight about when Harrison Barnes was actually traded.
Right, you're right.
That would have been funny if somebody said, Grandpa, we'll stay off social media when you start getting your Instagram post right. You know what I'd love to see? This is going to sound overly aggressive. I would love to see, like, somebody on that Lakers team stepped to LeBron. I'd love for a story to him. Not even visibly.
It's too much respect for him, even though they don't.
Still, after he was trying to cut their throat and trade him?
I think there's respect, even though they may not like him.
Begrudging respect because of his greatness. You cannot deny the greatness, but
right.
Angered at. Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And I don't need to see this play out public. I don't mean in a huddle, but boy, I would love to, you know, click on CBSSports.com, have my coffee one morning, pop on Twitter. Ooh, what does Woj have? What happened in the locker room last night with LeBron? Ooh, all right, let me read this. I'd love to see it. Because as I said, I think he needs to be humbled, you know? All right, Teak, let's get the update from Mac here. What else do we have? We got a little bit of blast. We got some phones coming in, 1-855-212-4227. We could certainly get those calls. Axe update coming at you right now. All right, still a lot to do here on the show. Tiki and Tierney will answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here. Then we'll get some calls. We'll get the blast as well. All right, today's question coming in from Anthony Parker. Tony Parker at Ant Messine, I believe. We'll go with the soft C there. All right, guys, did Ainge and the Celtics make an error not making a move at the deadline like the rest of the contenders in the Eastern Conference did? What do you think, Teague? We've talked a lot about the moves they made.
I don't think they did. I think they have a team that needs to just gel. And if they're going to make a move, they're going to do it this summer. They're looking bigger picture.
I agree. They do need to gel. And I think the answer is internal. If there is an answer.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything that, like, look at what the other teams did. I'm not sure if there was a move outwardly that they could have done that would have rectified what ails them. It's a chemistry thing. It's something that is not tangible necessarily.
Minutes distribution thing.
Yeah, maybe they could use one more sniper. I mean, who can't use more shooters? But
Kyrie's such a good shooter, and, you know, Tatum can knock him down, too.
Jalen's been a little bit erratic. Rozier's not a great shooter. Smart's not a great. Maybe they could use another shooter. But that's it, you know. Yeah. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We'll get some calls here, Teak. Also, the blast. But just so you are hopping on an early flight tomorrow.
I am.
You're going out to San Antonio for the Alliance.
Early, 5 a.m. I'm leaving to go down to San Antonio to do the Alliance game between the San Diego Fleet that are visiting the San Antonio Commanders tomorrow at 8 on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be me, it'll be Spiro, and then Trent Green and myself. And Jamie Erdahl will be on the sideline.
That's a good team.
It's a good team. We're excited.
Yeah.
It's new football. There's new rules. Uh-huh. The ninth judge, if you've heard about, if you followed the Alliance, which is the Sky Judge, which would have, in theory, corrected the mistake that we saw in the NFC Championship game. There's limited rules on blitzing, so it benefits offense. Only five people can blitz inside the box, and you have to be inside that box, meaning you can't bring a safety from like 12 yards deep and get a surprise backside blitz on the cornerback. Can't do those things.
Is that a safety thing, or is that just an offensive flow thing?
It's part safety, and it's part offensive flow. The clock is faster. So instead of 40 seconds like you do in the NFL, it's a 35-25 clock after 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then there's no kickoff.
Mm-hmm. Are the refs going to have tight shirts and look like they're jacked like they do in the NFL as well? Is that a prerequisite?
I don't know. But some of these things may make it to the National Football League.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And some of the players will for sure because they've already been there.
Definitely.
They
experiment all the time. The two-point conversion came from one of the other leagues. I don't know if that was the USFL or whatnot. Instant replay did. Mm-hmm. Sarah Thomas actually came from the World Football League.
That true?
Yeah.
I don't know.
She was not World. What was the latest one? UFL?
Latest one. Oh God, there has been some
because it was XFL, and then there was another one in between.
You're not talking about NFL Europe, are you?
No, not NFL Europe. It was in the States. Jim Fossil was the coach of the Las Vegas team.
Oh, the New York Hitmen had a team, right? They had like
UFL. It was UFL? Yeah, the UFL. Sarah came from the UFL, who's now obviously an NFL referee.
Yeah.
So they pioneered some things that will make their way into the NFL.
That's awesome.
I think the one that most likely will go is the Sky Judge.
I love it. Now, listen, I'm so happy that you're a part of this. I think anything that's... Listen, if it's good for the show, then,
there will be a Tiki.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because when we did Tops on CBS on Sunday, it was Chiron, Tiki, and Tierney. The whole nation saw it.
I mean, it's a CBS property. They better.
I don't think they're just going to Chiron you as Tiki Barber.
No, they should.
No, and that's not their responsibility to plug the radio show. Yeah. That's your responsibility.
Of course.
That's where you got to make sure you drop that in.
I did Fox last year.
And I was worried because the clock was ticking, but you dropped it in deftly, like right in between a play. I was saying to Jen, he's not going to get it in. He's not going to get it in.
And then Eli ran it for a touchdown, and I got it in.
You got it in.
ENBT.
You did. Let's get Chad, who was in Wisconsin. Chad is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Chad? How you doing today?
Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure, you got it, brother.
What do you got?
I just wanted to call about the first professional sports venue.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it was probably May of 92. I got picked up from kindergarten early by my dad and grandpa.
That's awesome.
Oh, wait, your grandfather was there too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Keep going. Special.
Got to go to Wrigley.
Oh, that's cool.
Oof, 92. Not only, Chad, do they get you out of school.
Exactly, which is awesome. All the other kids are looking at you like, wait, why does he get to leave early?
Because he's going to the rig. That's why, suckers. You can stay here and you can count.
That's awesome.
That is great. Now, do you remember who won? Do you remember any players? What stood out for you?
Got a 15-5 Cubs win that day.
That's always nice. Raised the W. Who pitched? Any home run? Who went yard? Somebody had hit home run.
Yeah, right.
Mark Grace, what happened?
I don't remember. I think Sandberg did.
Ryan Sandberg, MVP back in the day. You know what you could do, Chad? You can actually go to Roto. I mentioned this on the air yesterday. If you can identify, do you have the ticket stub?
I think I do have it framed, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's cool.
So then you can actually go to, I believe it's rotosheet.com, and you can get the box score from that day, and you could actually frame that as well if you want to really, make it a home run in the man cave kind of thing. That's a great story. Thanks for sharing, Chad. Appreciate it, man. Thanks, buddy. Look who's waddled into our, and he's wearing that disgusting shirt. Our old producer, Ray Martell, is here. Can we bring him on air? Come on in, Ray. Get on air. Let's go. Sit in that seat. We don't need an update for a while. Ray Martell. First of all, have you been in the studio, Ray? This is our old producer, first day, Tiki and Tierney, and Dana. TV, DNA, not Tiki and Tierney. It was us two and Dana Jacobson. You're still wearing that sloppy
Carl Banks gave me this about 10 years ago. And
Carl Banks.
So it's a nice little
starter jacket, right?
Yeah, starter. Exactly. That's what it is. Beautiful.
Starter. Is that starter?
No, I think
no,
it is.
Starter is the glossy satin. That doesn't look
but
glossy.
But it was G3, whatever his thing was. That's G3. That's what his brand was back then. So he still has it. And he gave this to me years ago. I love the thing. It's great.
Carl Banks is great. He's got the starter set up,
too. The first time I've seen this, it's beautiful.
How sick is this studio?
This is incredible. They really did a great job with it.
How you doing, Ray?
I'm great. Things are good.
He always looks like he had 9 cups of coffee, doesn't he?
I had about 8. Things a Diet Coke.
How you doing, Ray? I'm great. How you doing, Ray? I'm great. I'm doing good. I'm great. Either that or cocaine, man. What do you want?
No, of course not. When are we going to get Tiki in the Hall of Fame, by the way? It's about time we get him in.
Don't kiss behind.
I'm serious. I'm sick and tired.
I'll keep you on the air for a minute. You don't have to start kissing behind.
Can we get Tiki in the Hall of Fame?
I don't need to be in the Hall of Fame. Rondi will be there.
Let me tell you something.
I'll go when I do his introductory speech.
Here's what I always say about Tiki in the Hall of Fame. If you didn't leave the game early, and I know you left on your own accord, and you left for a real good reason, chance to do something that very few athletes have had a chance to cross over and do, and the money was huge with NBC. We know that.
I don't know if that's true, though.
Okay, but really? Yeah. I've always said if you would have had an 80% replication for 2 more years, maybe even 80% of what you did your final 4 or 5, I actually think you would get in.
I don't think so.
I think you're being humble on that. Stop the humility.
The Giants would have been worse with me there.
Yeah, but Walter Payton had so many lean. No, I'm not saying you're Walter Payton. But let's not go nuts here, Ray. Right? But think about how many bad teams Walter Payton played for.
I know.
And then the '85 with the great defense, he didn't get a touchdown. It was William the Refrigerator Perry.
Right.
He was at the end.
Right.
So I mean, is there really a correlation in the NFL with winning and losing? I don't know. I think you would have gotten in. I think you're selling yourself short, man.
Look, there's not very many people that had the career that I had.
That's what I'm saying.
There's 3 in
total. So tack on 2 more years of that.
There's 3 in total that have had 10,000 yards and 5,000 yards receiving, period. I'm one of them. There might not be another one. Saquon might do it. I thought Matt Forte would do it.
Yeah.
He crashed out. I thought Shady would do it. It doesn't look like it's gonna happen for him.
True.
It's hard to do.
Le'Veon Bell missed a season.
Exactly.
That's not gonna help him.
It's hard to do. If that's not enough, and if I'm not valued for what I was when I was there, it's valued now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not valued for when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I don't know if it's gonna
happen.
That's
why we love you. You always have a smart, cerebral, just measured,
look at things like that. Outside of my
So now can I get that's 4 it. For Saturday night for Kinky Boots?
we have to pay for
it.
You believe this guy? Yeah, how about him doing Broadway, though, Ray? Is it amazing?
It is amazing. It's
but
great.
But you're not surprised.
No, I'm not, because you're that renaissance guy who could do everything. I've known that for years, since the day I met you.
No,
you start
not,
off doing
I don't know if I can, but I will never refuse to try.
No, and that's a great attitude. Yeah. I was your first producer on the radio back on overnights on WFAN right. 15 years ago when you were still a player. Right. And I remember you coming into the studio and actually just in the studio with me behind the glass trying to learn. So what's this do? And I'm sitting here like, this guy's an NFL player asking me what to do. Uh-huh. I just knew right then and there how smart of a person you were, not just a player. But you know.
Do you have any compliments for me? I mean, geez.
You're bringing the Johnny success in the last 5 years. They just keep on getting better.
You produced two of us, not just his.
you made me better. There we go.
Totally
like that.
Kidding.
You want me to
I
do does, that?
Hey, let me ask you this: how many more years does Tom Brady play? But without being a 9-year-old fanboy,
two.
Is he still? Because he diminished a little bit this year.
He did.
As a Pats fan, how many more do you want him to play?
One.
Why?
Because I want to get that next quarterback. I want to start building towards the future. It's at some point it's going to fall off.
Yeah.
But you know,
it doesn't mean you have to. Hope that it happens sooner rather than later.
But I also don't want to see the guy get hurt, and I don't want to see that 8-8 year where he, you know, looks 17 bad. Touchdowns, 20 interceptions with a fed. It's just like, I want to see the guy go out on top. So it'd be great. If he can get another one next year, great. If not, you know, go out, have a good year, which I think they will. I think they've got
12 draft picks.
You know, and again, they're going to win 10-11 games without a problem next year. I think mm-hmm. the Jets are going to be better.
That's right.
I think Flores is going to be down in Miami. He's going to be able to do the usual win one game against New England and Miami.
Yeah.
It's going to be tougher.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, the thing about the Patriots I like this year, and the reason I sat there and felt good about it was nobody took this season away, and they just sat there and said, okay, we're going to go win it again. And that's what they did.
Now, before we bounce you, this is Ray Martell, our old producer, Stamps has been with us for almost 5 years at this point, so we're going back a long ways. What are you doing in the building? Why are you even here?
I'm working with the New York Mets Radio Network at WCBS. We're getting set for the new season.
Okay.
I moved over. I was the producer last year on their old network, and I'm back here working and loving it. I'm upstairs, and I'm glad to hear you guys, glad to see you guys doing well, and it's thank you for bringing me in.
Of course.
Had a lot of fun.
You're one of the good.
I love you guys.
I love you too, man.
And I said that. You've been great to me. Tiki's always been great to me, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you, brother. Ray Martell, ball of fire, huh?
Always.
Man, he comes in, he's revved up.
Always.
Get rid of that jacket. Stop pointing to your logo. Get out. Get out. Ray Martell, he really is a good guy.
Yeah.
Right?
He's great.
Let's get, we have time. John's in Ohio. John is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, John? How are you today?
Good, nothing much. I was just wondering what you guys thought of the Jets coaching staff that Adam Gase has put together. Mm. How would you rate it from like a 1 to 10? And who do you think are the highlights of his coaching staff?
Oh God, I'm just trying to get past the crazy, deranged look in his eyes at his press conference. You want me to evaluate his staff?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting because look, we thought
the staff's only as good as the talent. They have no talent. They've got to upgrade the talent, John. They have some talent.
Yeah.
Jamal Adams, terrific. You know, I love Darnold.
Yep.
You finally got a tight end in Herndon.
Yep.
The problem with the Jets and the problem with the Bills and the problem with the Dolphins and the problem with the Browns before this year and the problem with the Raiders this year and the problem with other bad teams is they don't have talent.
Yeah, look.
You got to find talent.
I do love Greg Williams as the defensive coordinator, who's a little bit
Oh, I love that. That's
crazy.
The hire I love.
He's crazy.
He's coming in to
but
smash
you need,
things.
But you need that.
Oh, I know.
You need that.
Yep.
Because he's kind of like the antithesis of Gase.
And Todd Bowles.
And Todd Bowles. But particularly Gase on the staff. You need fire, man.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Like we had that when I was there's always that one coach that's just, he's giving it to you.
And in the modern NFL, or really just in modern sport, those coaches are dinosaurs.
I agree.
There's not many, quote unquote, I know he's brilliant, lunatics running around. He's a wild card, which I think is great, but there's not many of them around.
Loggins is the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he brought him from Miami.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I love that.
I don't either. Jim Bob Cooter, who was really good as a
coordinator. Yeah, I'm okay with that quite a bit.
Detroit, he is the running back coach, but obviously he'll be involved in a lot of different ways.
And Cooter did a really good job with Stafford. That's when his completion percentage went up. That's the absolute
origin
of Stafford's uptick.
But to be honest with you, the rest of the guys, Frank Bush, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Denard Wilson, I don't know.
These are the defensive
coaches. Joe Vitt, I do know. He's a senior assistant. He's a good mind that's been in the game for a long time. But honestly, the staff is not familiar. It won't be familiar to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And the ones that you need to know are Loggins, Gase, obviously, for the offensive side of the ball, and then Greg Williams on the defense side of the ball. And I think those three in particular are sound.
I do too. We've messed around with Gase, looking around.
But whatever.
I think he's a smart guy. I think he's going to be good for Darnold. And listen, forget about whether it's the Jets staff or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a tendency to kind of like, if we don't know the name, if it doesn't resonate, we're like, oh, well, who are you hiring?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean they didn't hire somebody good.
No, you're right.
Just because you don't know somebody doesn't mean that they're not talented and ready to do the job. I know you're ready to do your job tomorrow. Well, first tonight, Kinky Boots, and then he's going to hop on a flight in the morning. First class, by the way, I heard on CBS, which is nice. Getting out to San Antonio. Have a great time launching the Alliance. Have a good call,
8 p.m. tomorrow night, CBS.
I'll be watching. Everybody have an outstanding weekend. Peace. Got to go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.